you doing?
Oh, I'm looking forward to tonight so much.
Great. Let me go ahead and do the intro for this show. We want to welcome everybody to As You Wish Talk Radio, where the sky's the limit. We're broadcasting from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, and it's an internationally known UFO hotspot and otherwise known as Paranormal Central. And we have a great guest tonight, and our guest is Winifred Barton. Hello, Winifred. Are you here?
Hello, James. Yes, I'm here.
Great. I've got so many questions, I don't even know where to start with this, but I was reading your bio, and it seems like you're definitely one of the pioneers in the UFO field.
Yes, it all started in 1927. So I've had a lot of experience.
Great.
And what happened in this near-death experience, I went straight up to a huge circus. And I went through a whole experience in the circus. And from then on in, I went into the astral in vivid dream time, and it came so naturally, living in two worlds, that I never really gave it much thought. And then World War II happened, and I got married and had a family, and the other world seemed to fade away.
Oh, it does that.
And then, in 1962, Rock Khan, who'd been the ringmaster at the circus, came back. And this is where it really got exciting. I was in the civil service, and we just moved to Ottawa. And we bought a beautiful house in the suburbs. And I came home from work one evening, I opened the closet, and there was a picture hanging in the closet. And it appeared later that something or someone had taken over my husband, Ernest, and he'd drawn it. And he wasn't remotely artistic. So we thought the house was haunted. We didn't know what was going on. But then my husband dropped a huge rock on his foot, and it was swollen up and purple, and he got in the bathtub, and Ra Khan took him over and lifted off the whole outside of his foot, and there was a new foot underneath.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it, and that is when I understood the good side. And what would happen, light beams would come down in our front garden, and our car's electrical system would go dead every so often. And then, at night, I would find myself standing in the etheric body in the living room with this spirit, Ra Khan, and then I would walk back to see my body still lying in the bed. So it was kind of like being a ghost in my own home.
Oh, yeah.
As well as being the housekeeper in my own home.
Yeah, with Ra Khan, would you call him like an ultra-dimensional being? Or how would you classify Ra Khan?
Well, he said he was an Atlantean. What happened after this, he began to take over my husband, Ernest, and he would tell me all about Atlantis. And I wrote the history of Atlantis, sort of in this way. And one of the things he told me was that Earth had knocked Mars out of orbit in so many years ago. And only recently they found that there does appear to be life on Mars.
Oh yeah, it was definitely, civilized at one time.
Yeah. And, well, as a matter of fact, my impression is that there's this great huge circle. And there's like a time clock set, and the whole huge circle, I don't know how many million years or whatever, but the whole huge circle comes around, and that history repeats itself, but in different ways that we can't quite understand at the time. Anyway, our mystery school began, and we were doing great. And we had six first-class operators. We had schools in Europe and all over. And regularly, I would broadcast, several times a week. And then, in 1 week, two of our radio operators died in two different places. One was down at the bottom of a lake at our campus in Quebec with cement blocks tied to his feet. And the other was okay at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was dead in his bed at 6 o'clock. And that was Madoc, Ontario. And he was a very dear friend of mine. Came from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And both of these deaths were listed as suicide.
Yeah, I find that there are so many people that have disappeared in the UFO field.
Well,
you know, they shoot themselves in the head with a shotgun, and they can't even reach the trigger. And you know, there's no history. There's no, you know, they had great lives. You know, there's no suicidal history or anything. And
right.
You know, these guys find themselves picking themselves up and throwing them over a wall. You know, off three
yeah.
stories. And
it's the way they do it.
Their own car, you know.
I mean, the MIB, I got definite insight because it continued. The way they work with intimidation and fear. Anyway, let's backtrack a bit.
Okay.
Because everybody knows Alfred Weber.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, I told the police all about this, and I had no idea that it was illegal. And that the whole UFO bit had been turned over to MJ-12, you know. I never knew that till internet. But anyway, before these deaths happened, we had a UFO summit meeting at our Madoc campus, which was organized by attorney Alfred Weber, who came down from New York. And all kinds of dignitaries came down. It was chaired by Barbara Marks Hubbard and myself. It had been well advertised. Now, these are the people that came, who were into UFOs. Colonel Edward Winchester, who ran the Spiritual Defense Initiative in the Pentagon. Bill Reeds, Fort Bragg, he was President Reagan's UFO advisor. And the list goes on and on. There was Aisha Dead, a professor of Middle East politics in a political university. Physicist Raymond Modlin. I meant to say these were very important people, each in their own field.
Yeah, very educated, top people in their field.
Yeah. But not knowing that what we were doing was illegal or terrible, I was just going out wild, you know, just telling everything. Not realizing that the MIB could have a finger in the pie at any place. You see what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know from poor friends that certain masters have been building Vermanas, you know, like those Indian spaceship vehicles.
Yes,
One of them is a friend of mine, David DeMel. But also, Marcel Vogel, who worked with IBM, he was a Christologist.
Yes, I know him very well. Or I knew him very well. Actually, I was at his guinea pig, believe it or not. He was getting a lot of information from us, and I got to play with his toys and then tell him where I was feeling that in the body and what I thought it was doing. And,
yeah.
And an amazing man. He actually created a device where he could send healing energy through the ethers, herb or medicine or whatever, and he could just send it to somebody remotely through the ethers, and shortly after that is when he died of a massive heart attack. And yeah. Equipment just,
he sent me one of his very own crystals, one of the first original crystals?
Yeah, the Vogel crystals. Everybody is aware of those. Those are amazing.
You know, James, getting into the subject of crystals and quartz, and I play a very, very important role in the UFO phenomena. You know, shamans use them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, they send out radio signals and things like that. I believe this to be.
Yeah, they both emit and receive, you know, so they're pretty amazing, too, when you put your consciousness to the crystal. Don't
yeah.
Crystal. Don't be dependent on it, because you can still communicate without it.
Yeah. And you know, I also find a lot of common denominators of children who've had physical companions from being little kids, you know, when I've done counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many of them have had this same mystical experience, let's call it.
Oh, yeah.
So there's an element of sort of spiritualism in this particular story.
Yeah, both my brother and I, we were raised in the high desert. I'll go on to the name. He's an old-timer, I guess, in the UFO field. He's gone with now. He had a giant rock. I'll think of it later.
Yeah.
Right near that area where he was having all the contacts when we were raised as kids. And he used to sleep out by it all the time with sleeping bags. And we would see things flying all over the place up there. And, you know, mountains would light up, you know, the mountains in the area. And things would land, and people would run out there in jeeps and try to find out what it was. And
yeah.
You wouldn't find anything. There'd be no meteor, no. And as a kid, I was taken, aboard the craft a couple of times as a kid, and I came to tell my mom about it. And I said, you know, Mom, they took me. She goes, oh, it was a bad dream, you know, just forget about it. And so you do, you know, you forget about it, and then it stops happening, you know, until later on in life.
Well, I think you have to forget about it for a little while, because then when you come back and look at it, it's not so shocking.
Exactly.
No, you know what I mean?
You know, it did. I just accepted it. I go, well, you know, it's a pretty sorry universe if we're the best God has to offer, you know, and we're the only thing on this planet, you know, is in this universe. I mean, the only thing in this universe, the only life form is just this planet alone.
Yeah.
God help us if that's the case, you know, because we're sure messing up our nest here. But, we could really use some help in these times, and I know they pick people all around the world to, to redirect this planet to, you know, move in a direction that is evolving into more spiritual, loving,
life
with nature and each other.
Yeah. But we all think it's an incredible mystery that the UFO phenomena has been kept so secret, you know, by governments. And I think that the governments have been sort of promised, secret weapons or something, but that actually the UFO people, E.T., is double-crossing them. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that they're on our side, and that the cosmic conspiracy is a two-way conspiracy.
Yeah.
No, I really believe this, and more, as our DNA expands as it does, look at the distance we come every day on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we exchange information at the speed of light.
Oh, it's amazing the new information coming in. You know, the top physicists now, biophysicists, everybody, are all tying everything into consciousness and our perceptions of the world we live in, and that's creating our reality. You know, we're basically these little perception-driven units running around down here creating our own reality and not realizing that we're playing a major part in it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how all with the new biology and the new physics, everything, I mean, they're all bringing in this unified field where everything is connected.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, with the source, God, we're connected. Every color, every race, every being. You know, we all came from the same source, and we're all going to return to the same source. So, you know, what's the problem? I don't understand.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, look.
What is the problem here on Earth?
Look, the best minds on our planet are dedicated to death. You know, better weapons.
Oh, yeah.
And then with the girls, what I call the Barbie doll hypnosis, you know, where you have to wear all this makeup and this, and it's all to do with form.
Yeah, it's all
as opposed to character.
Exactly. You know, I always tell people if you get away from your mirror for a little while and spend as much time in front of the mirror polishing your spirit, you know, and doing your meditation and things like that,
yeah.
Beauty is going to radiate from within. and people are going to be drawn and magnetized to you. You know, it's much quicker than all the paint. You know,
absolutely.
Very few people get that because we are a society driven and programmed, you know, to focus on outer appearances and, you know, basically the first three fields of chakras, you know, survival, sex, and power.
No.
That's what most of humanity is running on right now.
Yeah. You know, the indigenous people say, like the Hopi and that, they say we have to go right to the bottom of the bottomless pit sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look at, you say, the news today of men torturing each other and killing each other, you know, women and children, and all, you know, everything all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the bottomless pit, or that we're looking at it.
Yeah, you have to go through the dragon, you know, and you come out
with
the tail,
yeah.
You know, kind of, I hate to say it, but crapped out the other side, and then you're awake, you know, but you have to go through a little bit of hell to get to heaven, unfortunately.
Absolutely, I agree. I think it's part of our initiation, because we have to develop compassion.
Exactly.
And when you see those poor kids starving, well, us in North America, you know, living it up, sort of. You know what I'm saying, in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is not very Christian in anybody's language.
No, I think it's quite interesting that, you know, our leadership, they push this, you know, I'm a good Christian. I'm with the Christian right, and I'm this and I'm that. But, you know, the bottom line is that they are directly responsible for the murder of a lot of innocent people.
I agree.
And torture and deception, you know, dishonesty and all these other things. And I have a very hard time with that. I just said, well, how can you call yourself a Christian? I just can't see Christ over there, you know, wiping out
James,
things of that nature.
James.
Yes.
Some in the audience can barely hear you. But they can hear the other person since you're on the same line. The only way to do this is for you to speak up.
Okay.
They can barely hear you.
All right.
And I can't increase your levels without increasing the other person on the same line's levels, too.
Okay.
All right.
Is this any better? Or? All right. So basically, getting back to that, it's I think the bottom line is people need to start really looking at what's going on around them in their world with discernment and find that impeccable integrity again.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and start behaving, you know, according to the universal principles and understandings that are necessary for a healthy society and environment. And we just aren't doing that anymore. Our leadership has taken us on this path, the downward spiral. You know, our environment is about ready to collapse. The economy is not too far behind. Everything is just a mess right now, and I see the biggest plague is not the bird flu, it's greed. It's just pure greed and the concept of separation and the pure ignorance of thinking that we can outrun our karma or that we're separate from karma. It's unbelievable. How can you be so arrogant and you know, they think they're clever, but they're not wise, because if you're wise, you would never, you know, harm others or destroy the planet or capitalize, you know,
right,
on war and drugs and all the other things that we're doing right now.
You know, James, I think we build our mansion in the sky or our starship with every thought and deed we do while we're incarnate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're doing here, but the golden rule applies to all religions across all times. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're one planet, one people.
Exactly.
So, and we will be judged as one in the sense of, you know, if we're killing ourselves off. It's not any ETs that are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just try and make them the bad guys, but it's right here in our own thought process, and I'm speaking generally, you know.
Oh, I tell people all the time, you know, in the interest of national security, we should align with the benevolent and the spiritually and technologically advanced ETs And let's bring in that fuel of energy, you know. Let's clean up the planet. You know, let's end disease. You know, it's all there waiting for us, and we're our own worst enemies. The biggest threat is humanity and the leadership within humanity. It's not anything outside that we have to worry about. It's the greed inside and the, you know, the false belief of separation. You know, all the physicists now are pointing to one thing, and that's this unified field, that everything exists and we're all part of this unified field, you know, and they're transcending all religious and cultural boundaries with this new physics. And it's time, you know, our leadership takes a little physics class, you might say.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
Get with the program.
Yeah. Well, I really think we're at the end of the line. I think we're right on the verge of the cosmic changeover, because it almost seems as if the people on Earth have been divided into two kinds, the children of the One and the children of Belial, we call it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was what was promised. And we can walk along the street, we see one of our own kind, and we have a little smile in our eye, you know, and we know each other. You can see it in the stores, you know, some people are just looking at the shelves, and others are reaching out to sort of send a little vibe.
Oh, exactly. The children, too, it's just amazing. I've had children just rip their hand out of their mother's hand and come running up to me, you know, for a hug, and their eyes are just lit, incredible energy coming from them. And you know, I play with these kids. I send them a telepathic message to see who they are and if they're awake. And I did that today at a little coffee shop. I saw this little girl sitting there, and she had her back to me, and I just felt a wonderful energy around her. And so I sent her a message, and I beamed her, you know, with a little love and energy, and I said, turn around. And she just turned right around, and she had this little scarf in her hand, and she walked up to me and gave me her scarf.
Yeah.
You know, and I just said, I can't take your scarf, you know. And I gave it back to her, and her mom goes, her mom's looking at me all funny, and she goes, I don't know why she did that. You know, so, you know, we could really learn from the children right now, and especially these awakened ones that are coming in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I guess that is the completion of our evolutionary circuit. I mean, if the ancients are coming back, they could be coming back in little children.
Oh, exactly.
With a thin veil of consciousness that's so thin. Like, years ago when I was born, there was normally a thick veil between the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But the speed at which we're traveling through the internet, And you know, in documentaries and the organization of the UFO phenomena, there's no way possible that the governments don't know about it.
Oh, there's a shift, you know, a cosmic plan, whatever you want to call it. You know, I call it the quickening or the awakening, the healing process that we're undergoing. And it's a force that is so powerful and so big. It's just amazing. I have a lot of friends that do reverse speech, and they do the background. You know, they listen to the background conversations going on around a person. And it's amazing. I won't mention their names, but actually there are some people even in the UFO field that are a lot of disinformation or trying to, you know, create another I am the way, the only way, you know, routine.
Yeah.
And you listen to them. And in reverse speech, I mean, you'll hear this chatter going on.
Yeah.
And the chatter is these kind of negative energies, you might say, or spirits, or, you know, some call them Lizzies or Grays, or there's all different names for them. But you can actually hear the chatter going on, and in the chatter, they're saying that their time here is done. That it's over for the negative influences and the other things, and there's a shift coming. And this is coming from the dark side. I mean, they're scared, and they know that they have to get either with the program or get off the planet, one or the other.
Yeah, well, that's what it boils down to.
you know, and it's amazing because you can hear the chatter going on between them, and they're not happy campers right now because these new energies that are coming in are just targeting the tyranny, you know, the people that are very heavy and dark in consciousness and want to dominate and control everything. They can't handle these new energies coming in because, you know, it's accelerating their karma and it's bringing up, you know, all their games that they're playing. You know, it's bringing everything up into the light. So it's
going to
be so interesting.
You can see karma coming in from every direction, from the nations, from the people, from cults. I mean, look at the karma. Well, let's have the Catholic Church for the serious example.
Yeah.
You know, they get away for something for centuries. Okay. And what about our worship of the economy? Like, when they left Egypt, theoretically, when the human race left Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, the first thing they did was build a golden calf and worship a golden calf. And now it's turned into the bull market. The economy rules the world.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to be shifting out of that pretty soon because it is amazing what people will do for money. I mean, they will sell their soul. They will do anything. A lot of these reality shows I'm seeing that are so unreal, you know, I mean, they have these people swimming in dung and eating roaches and doing all these things for a certain amount of money, and they're doing it, and these people jump right into it, and it's all about fame and fortune and ego-based, you know. I've never seen anything like it, but it's reaching its pinnacle. That's what I'm seeing, is that it's a good thing watching all this stuff come right up to the surface because you can't avoid it anymore. It's just in your face.
Well, I think maybe Lucifer is going to come and rescue us. He's not the most popular man, you know, in the outer world, but we're talking about black light. We're talking fractal geometry. We're talking a whole different scale of thought processes that I would certainly believe that the UFOs would use. I mean, they're not going to come down with guns and do all the stuff that we might do in return, you know. Their weapons are entirely different. They're mental weapons. They can take over the mind either way.
Yeah,
that's the way I believe it, because there's certain vibrations that are more predominate over other degrees of consciousness.
Oh, I agree. The way I see it happening is that there's an energy that's coming in, whatever you want to call it, higher consciousness, energy, you know, light. There's so many different names for it. The galactic core, you know, is beaming its energy out. But, you know, you look at the Mayan calendar, and they're saying that we're leaving the age of power, and now we're moving into the age of integrity and honesty. And so so basically, you really think about it, we are moving through this power over others where people are so misusing the power. They're not empowering others. They're not using that power for their own self-determination. But they're using it to overpower others. And now we're moving out of that age and into the age of integrity, and people are going to be seen for what they are and the misuse of that energy. And, you know, according to the Mayans, that's what they're saying. But there's so many different races out there. There's a lot of Native American prophecies, and it's all pointing towards that there is this dark force, whatever you want to call it. It's a consciousness. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are playing in that arena, and its time is up. You know, it's in its death throes right now, and it's time to get with the upward spiral. You know, get on that boat.
Right. Well, once a person has lost their integrity, they cease to exist in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're disintegrated. They're shattered spiritually, soul wise. And I know because I've seen young soldiers from World War II when they had to bayonet someone or something like that. They have to bear the pain of it for their whole life.
Yeah, they interviewed a kid from Iraq, and I really love what he had to say. He said, you know, he said, you can't kill another person without losing a part of your soul.
Absolutely.
And he said, you know, people don't understand that. He said, this isn't fun here. He said,
right. Or if you're cruel.
Every time.
You know, when they're cruel to human beings,
mm-hmm.
what must that do to your soul?
Oh, it's just amazing. It's, you know, I can understand, you know, somebody unconsciously moving in that direction, thinking they are doing things for God and country. And, you know, some of these people have no other way to go. I mean, they're coming out of the ghettos and things like that and get over there. But, you know, eventually you're going to have to wake up and smell the coffee and just say, you know, I don't think I want to be the arm of corporate interest anymore.
Yeah.
I want to come home and serve, you know, serve America. And I, you know, what's going to happen is with all these earth changes and these tornadoes and these hurricanes and the upcoming quakes and things of that nature, we need our military back home.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the cleanup and, you know, for the rescue and the cleanup. I mean, that's just a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, you've got a fabulous constitution. God created all men equal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and love your neighbors yourself. What else do we really need?
Exactly. You know, the two rules. You know, I, this one guy said, I thought it was really funny. He said, you know, he said, they're over there trying to write a new constitution for Iraq. And he said, just give them ours. We're not using it. and we really aren't. It's really sad. I think we should go back and steal the constitution again and throw out everything that did or overrode the constitution and just throw everything out and throw everybody out that's not, you know, fulfilling their obligation and their oath to obey the Constitution and serve the people.
Well, we could have a global constitution based on your constitution.
Exactly.
Because we haven't got any race, color, or creed or anything like that in our new world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're neutral in terms of all of that human emotional crap stuff.
Oh, I think the Constitution was inspired by spirit or God or whatever you want to call it. But
I think so too.
And you know, in the Iroquois Nation, supposedly that's where they got most of the Constitution from anyway.
Oh.
You know, the Native Americans, they had their ways and they were very civilized. People don't realize that. My great grandmother was Cherokee and what was interesting with her is that we never even knew about it because it was, you didn't want to say that you were, you know, had Native American blood in you or whatever. My mom was very quiet about it. My grandmother was too. And it was very looked down upon. And you know, I started looking back into our roots and we're, you know, Scotch-Irish Cherokee, which, you know, I think we're troublemakers on every level, you know, but there's a very strong, you know, in the Cherokee Nation, what they say is their ancestors are the Pleiades. They actually point to the Pleiades and they say,
right.
This is where we came from.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Highlanders over in Scotland say the same thing, you know, so it's quite interesting. You know, when you go back to the most ancient of times, you know, even the Atlantean and Lemurian colonies, you know, those were Pleiadian colonies.
Yeah.
They started out as Pleiadian colonies, and they attracted the other star nations,
yeah.
You know, which came in and brought the different races. But, you know, we have a long, rich history that is connected to the stars and to the heavens. And, you know, people call them ETs. Basically, they're our ancestors, you know. They're the greater family of man that are coming in to help us.
I agree. I think the spirit is carried in the bloodstream to its final destination. Exactly what you're saying. I have found out a lot of people that I've met who have native blood. As a matter of fact, although I don't have native blood, I'm a elder of the Métis. And I totally understand them and the principles and the totemic animals that they worship. Not worship, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
The way of being one with nature and understanding what the birds are saying and what the bees are humming, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, it's amazing. They're your best teachers. Nature, I think, is the closest you can get to spirit or God, is get away from all the social consciousness and meditate out in nature and make your own God connection. Now,
that's
the path that I most follow. I've done a lot of ceremony, with Native Americans. I've done a lot of sweat lodges and medicine wheels and things of that nature. The medicine wheel, when I was amazed, there's a woman here that does the medicine wheel. And, you know, everybody sits, you know, where their clan is, where they're born on the wheel, around the wheel. And they have, what I was amazing, they have all these herbs for each time of the month, you know, different herbs. And for this month, this month, this month, this month.
Oh.
And you look around, and then you look at this wheel, and you go, well, wait a minute. You know, here's winter. This herb they're saying that we need to eat in winter is very high in vitamin D, which we're not getting, and, you know, other elements that we really need during the winter.
Yeah.
You know, and then coming into spring, these herbs over here are kind of like laxatives to get rid of all the heavy stuff that we ate, you know, over winter and clean our system out.
Yeah.
You know, and then these herbs over here are, you know, each one will either heat up the body or cool down the body. You know, these are more cooling herbs, you know, for summer, you know, to cool you down a little bit. But, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that wheel that people take for granted.
Oh, indeed.
They don't even know, but if you do know the herbs and what they're saying to eat, you know, when you go around the wheel, they all have a specific purpose.
Right, right. And I've also heard about the song line, like when a young lad is reaching puberty, he has to go out and find his totemic animal, and some of them are sharks, and this kid can play with the shark and swim with the shark. You know, it's incredible the comradeship that can be built up.
Oh, yeah, Hawaii, you know, and I don't know, something about sharks. I don't know if I'd want to swim with a shark. I have a little thing about that, but just eaten by a big fish is not my way to go. But I know over in Hawaii, you know, there's people that get along with the sharks, and, you know, they feel like they're brothers, and they go out and surf, and they don't have any problems. And,
yeah.
And, you know.
And more so with dolphins.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to Hawaii to speak at a conference in June, and going to go swim with the dolphins and do all of that. And I can't wait for that. I have been wanting to connect with the dolphins, and in one of the sweat lodges I was doing, I had an orca, you know, the killer whales, come and appear to me right in front of my face and transfer a lot of information. And you know, and they're the record keepers, that they have all the ancient wisdom. But I feel very, very connected to, you know, these the dolphins and the whales, and I can't wait to go and commune with them and see what happens.
Oh, that's gonna be wonderful. And like the whole loop, we've got a fantastic planet. Look at the species we've got in here, incredible it is, and the love energy that must have gone into bringing us to where we are now.
Oh yeah.
And it's all there waiting for us. Just once we get through the Ankh, which I don't think will be very long.
No, I don't either. You know, the diversity of life here, it's so clear that it's my understanding that the Star Nations all brought a lot of this life with them to the planet. And that's why we have such a diversity of life, and the foliage and the trees and everything here is just amazing. And it would be such a waste. We're losing species like crazy right now because of all the pollution and the global warming and the forest destruction and things of that nature. It's such a waste. This is such an incredible biosphere. There's no other one like it in the universe. I mean, it's just amazing what's here. And to allow that go to waste is just, I can't even fathom it.
Well, my idea is that we make Gaia queen of Earth. And that we give her a legal identity. Why not? Well, she's a living creature.
Oh, exactly.
And if we gave her a legal identity, then we would all be her husbands. We would all be her servants.
Yeah.
And it says give her back double, you know, in the Bible. And look, we've got to start thinking in those terms of cleaning up the ship.
Oh, yeah.
And we have the power to do it when we set our minds to it, because I know that the Holy Spirit is on our side.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no one wants this planet to go down the drain, or no sensible person.
You know,
and it's insane that we agree. It's insane the way we're carrying on.
It is insane. I know, and I've seen personally, units that would actually power these nuclear reactors. We could pull these reactors out and switch it out with these other units that are fuelless. You know, I've seen things you can hold in your hand that put out 25,000 watts, you know, per coil, and they have 9 coils in them, you know, that'll run your whole house and actually 4 or 5 houses. And these technologies exist, but the people that created these technologies were all, you know, threatened. They had their labs blown up, their families were threatened, and they just put them aside, you know, they put them on the shelf, and they said as long as the leadership is there, you know, our present leadership continues to support, you know, the suppression of all this stuff and keep these gas, oil, belching things out there, you know, this is going to continue, and it's sad because, you know, these nuclear reactors, they're leaking. Almost all of them have cracks, hairline cracks in them, and, you know, they just shut one down over in Japan because it's got all kinds of fractures in it, and they just shut it down because it's on a fault line. And one of the earthquakes, they think, did a lot of damage to it. So it's just a matter of time. You know, these are time bombs. We need to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we have the technology to totally clean up this planet, you know, provide all of our energy needs fuellessly. We have the technology now to end disease. But the problem is that the main people running this planet are the oil industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and the war industry. So people ask, you know, well, why can't we clean up this pollution? You know, why can't we, you know, find the cure for cancer and all these other diseases? You know, why can't we have peace? And there's no money in it.
James?
You know?
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, the money, I mean, you're wiping out multi-billion-dollar corporations, you know? And, but the thing is that these multi-billion dollar corporations are taking us on the downward spiral.
Indeed. And it's all for money. Money is gone.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Because a fellow abductee, David DeMille, can produce pure, clean, limitless energy. And he's not the first one to have come up with this concept. It's been going on for years where these inventions have been deliberately suppressed.
Since the 40s.
And some of our listeners down in San Francisco have been there. They've come up here and they've seen it. And it was a gift from extraterrestrials. He was abducted on the same ship as I was. But his mother tongue isn't English, so it's difficult.
Yeah.
However, I mean, it's there. It's just a question of us having the courage to put our foot down.
Exactly. It's a matter of, you know, I think somebody is going to be putting their foot down here real soon, and it's a much bigger force than us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's going to bend all this karma inward on the people that have, you know, the war profiteers and the disease profiteers you know, the people that have been polluting the planet and suppressing all this new technology, you know, and they know, these people know that they cannot continue. They know the kind of the environment, know what's going on, and they know, as a matter of fact, that if they continue on this path, it's going to take everything. Everything down with it.
They need
indeed. And a lot of Mars changing. You know, there's a lot of awakenings going on within these systems. And, you know, people are saying no more. You know, we're not going to be willing participants in our own demise anymore. We're going to be doing something else. So,
right.
So it's, you know, these hierarchies, whatever you want to call them, are falling apart right now. And the density that they are carrying within their own beings is going to be their own worst enemy.
Right. You know, James, I believe that we have natural telepathy when we reach the top of our DNA scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been proving this for a long while.
Oh, yeah.
That, do you know what I'm saying? And I believe that there's this huge brain hovering over us. And as our neurons get hooked up, that we come more and more into the power of mental telepathy,
mm-hmm.
that we can project into the darkness. And this is true, and I think it was Alfred who was talking about some tests that scientists have been doing that prove that if a number of people set their mind to doing something, that it actually affects it.
Oh, it's amazing, the crime rates, you know, the murder rate, you know, the hostile actions, everything, accidents, everything go greatly down when you get a group of people meditating in certain areas. You know, they've statistically proven that over and over again.
Right.
You know, and when you get enough people focusing on, you know, universal peace and brother, sister, love and cleaning up the planet and moving in that direction, you know, it's going to happen. You know, it's like the hundredth monkey. It is going to shift.
Yeah.
You know, it's destiny. There. You know, I see very clearly. I've seen, you know, gone way into the future before, and I've seen the Earth totally cleaned up and just glowing, and it looked like a jewel. You know, it was beautiful, and the energies and the frequencies around it, and I really do see that as its destiny.
Yeah.
Humanity. I'm not sure how well we're going to do in the process. You know. Getting from here to there, because the Earth is going to reset herself and clean herself up, and we have to decide, you know, how we are going to move with that process.
Unless possibly the unified field is going to sort of be separate from the dust, the surface Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of what we're talking about would even be in a single atom. Well, you know, we talk about Ra Atum, the sun shining on an atom. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I don't know what size these atoms are. But they do say two should be standing in the field and one should be taken and the other left. And that seems reasonable to me if you have to reach a certain vibrational scale in order to ascend. Which I believe is the way the system works, because you know that when we're high and when we're in good company and praising the Lord and all that sort of stuff, how the vibe changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you have to go down to the, say, the market or the shopping market, your spiritual self sort of withdraws and your left brain sphere has to come into the foreplay of consciousness. So we're sort of coming and going. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of information out there about two worlds, you know, living between two worlds,
yeah.
Things of that nature. And, you know, they're just very well maybe two Earths, you know, with two different frequencies. And when there's a separation that happens, you know, some people will go forward with the one Earth that's choosing to ascend. And move to the next level, and then other people may continue on, you know, with the old paradigm, you know, in another reality there. There's so many different realities and scenarios.
Yeah, you know? I believe what you're saying. There's a place called Planet X,
mm-hmm.
and it's in all the books, and I believe that X is the central cross or the core of the universe. And, like the shape of a Maltese cross or the cross on a hot cross bun. Mm-hmm. And that center point in the universe is what we're going through. I believe that to be the Ankh. And from my Egyptian initiation point of view, I believe the exit is through the Ankh. Mm-hmm. And it's like a cross with a loop on top.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I really believe that the ancient Egyptians and Mayans and all the masters are listening to our conversation right this minute. I'm serious about that.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
And look, tell them, we're great with them, help us. I believe in avocations and prayers and cooperation and, look, together we can make it. Our two dimensions, the incarnate and the discarnate, as one unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always tell people, you know, one of the bottom line is if you drew a line, you know, with the two polarities on one side, and, you know, one side you have competition, you know, the other side you have cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really that simple. You know, are you going to continue to compete as a separate being? And fight over resources and all these other things?
Yeah.
Or are you going to cooperate as a unified being and everybody work together in harmony and turn this planet around?
Right.
And it really is that simple.
Yes, it
is.
And
you all know, the other stuff you can just throw in the trash, you know?
Absolutely. But, you know, I've been to World Council of Churches meetings, and they all agree of what they're going to do, but there's spiritual jealousy.
Exactly.
They don't want to let go of a body, so to speak. No, I think spiritual, and there's probably commercial jealousy, and there's probably political jealousy.
It is. I mean, even in the UFO field, I saw when I went in the UFO field and I started talking about my experiences, I had no idea that I was going to get so much heat and there'd be so much jealousy and competition you know, and you've got the nuts and bolts that are saying, hey, it's just nuts and bolts. No, it's back engineered stuff. Our government's hiding it from us. That's it. That's all it is, you know. And then you have the spiritual people saying, oh, it's just spirit, you know, it's this and that, you know. And then you have the abductions, you know, people saying, oh, they tortured me, you know, they stuck needles in my eyes and I'm a victim. And you know, when you come out and you go, hey guys, you know, it's all happening. You know, it's all going on according to your consciousness.
Yeah.
And if you have a victim consciousness, you're going to draw that experience to you. If you
right.
connect with the higher beings, there's protection that comes along with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and yes, we have been back engineering things.
Yeah.
You know, for quite a long time. You know,
well,
but everybody's got a piece of the pie, but they all think they have the whole pie.
Yeah.
And they attack everybody else.
Yeah.
That's outside of their piece.
I think self-love is the hardest thing of all to attain. Total and complete self-love. You feel that you've done what you should have done. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You feel you've spent your life serving the tree of life. And that is where all jealousy and everything else ends.
Yeah.
And I feel that none of these people can have real self-love, otherwise all this stuff wouldn't be going on.
Well, I know you and I both have had, you know, the near-death experience.
30 seconds.
Yeah,
30 seconds left.
Mine was pretty phenomenal, too. And I think once you realize really what the source is and how much you're totally loved unconditionally and the love and joy and bliss that comes with that, then you can share that with others and stop the competition. Looks like we're going to have to wrap it up here. I can't thank you enough, Winifred, for coming on the show, and we'll definitely have to do it again.
Oh, I hope so. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, and it's great, and I'm sure there's going to be a nice, great friendship coming out of this.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.